divine power for the human race. Divine power for the human race. There are four different words translated power in the New Testament scriptures. Seventy times we have the word dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. Then the other word is used 58 times, one other word, and it means unlimited authority. Now you read in the Bible that God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He has unlimited authority. And the same words are used in describing the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. There's one exception. There's another word used. If you have your Bible, if you turn to the 9th chapter of Luke, the 43rd verse, very interesting statement here. They were all amazed at the mighty power of God. They were all amazed at the mighty power of God. This word is made up of two Greek words, and it means magnificent perfection. They were amazed at the magnificent perfection of God. Now, if we want to understand the divine power for the human race, we must use the two words. The one that means unlimited authority, and the other word from which we get the word dynamite. In the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ was made after the power of an endless life. What a statement. The word endless there means indissoluble. He was made after the power of an endless life. In him was life. And the light was the light of men. He's called the life by others and by himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now we read in the first chapter of Ephesians of the mighty power that God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and put him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power. Now all of the mighty power that's not of God is of Satan. So many people today are asking questions. They're troubled about the Sputnik and all of what's going on in Russia. All of the rulers of Russia and all that they're doing is 100% under the power of Satan. They're all controlled by Satan. And Satan has mighty power. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, the fourth chapter of Luke, you remember the Lord Jesus Christ had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil put up two or three propositions to him, and one of them was, if you will get down and worship me, I'll give you the power of all the kingdoms of the world. Now we read in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world lieth in the lap of the devil. He's called in the Bible the strong man. Satan has more power than all of the unsaved people on this earth combined. He is not omnipotent. He is not omnipresent. He's ubiquitous. And next to God, he has the greatest power. When the Lord called the Apostle Paul to preach, if you'll notice in the 26th chapter of Acts, what the Lord told the Apostle Paul would be his duty. In the 16th verse, Jesus Christ, very interesting when we read today about Damascus over in Syria. That's where the Apostle Paul was saved, the greatest man that ever lived, with the single exception of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was saved as no one else was ever saved. Christ was up above him, and he heard his voice, and there he was saved. And the Lord said, "Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which in the which I will appear unto thee. I will deliver thee from the Jews and from the Gentiles, and I will now send you unto the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God." Every unconverted person is under the power of Satan. And you'll never be turned from the power of Satan unto God until you're turned in God's way. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the dynamite of God to everyone that believeth." The word dunamis. Dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. Now, until you believe the gospel, you'll never be turned from the power of Satan unto God. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. How true that is. The millions and millions of people are going to eternal perdition, and you go and tell them the only way they can be saved from eternal perdition and enjoy eternal conscious, eternal life is by believing the gospel, that Jesus Christ was made after the power of an endless life, and he had authority, unlimited authority, as we have the word, to say, "I have power to lay down my life, I have power to take it again, no man taketh it from me." It was impossible for any man to take Jesus Christ's life. He was made after the power of an endless life. He said, "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Pilate said, "Don't you answer me?" When Christ appeared before him at Calvary, he said, "Don't you know I have power to nail you to that cross or to let you go?" He said, "You haven't that much power. You haven't any power. If I did not yield myself and die voluntarily on that cross, you'd have no power." He could have called all the angels of God and delivered himself. But he was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners in times past has spoken unto the fathers of the prophets, in these last days he's spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom he created all things, and who upholds all things by the word of his power. If you're afraid of what's going to happen to this country, if it's in the hands of our politicians and our newscasters and our monarchs and our kings, you have a right to be scared. How do you suppose the world is being held together today? By the power of God. Civilization would have collapsed long ago if it hadn't been by the power of God. And we're told in Ephesians 1:3 that Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. In the first chapter and second chapter of Colossians, we're told that he has under control all principalities and power. God has raised him to his own right hand. He's made him head over all things to the church, which is his body. And he's raised him far above principalities and power. Now remember, Satan is the god of this age. And he's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I told you about Billy Sunday when he was here. He got down on the platform and he carried on a 5-minute conversation with the devil in hell. I want to tell you, the devil is not in hell. If the devil was in hell, we wouldn't have such a hard time in Chicago. The devil has charge of principalities and powers in the heavenlies, in between the Lord Jesus Christ and us here. Satan is in charge of principalities and powers, and we're told that he's at the head of these principalities and powers. And when God raised his Son from the dead, he raised him far above principalities and powers and made him head over all things to the church, which is his body. Now we read in the first chapter of John that Jesus Christ was in the world, and the world was made by him. Is it any, just think of the people who think they're really doing a great honor to the Lord to say he's the fairest flower of humanity. He's the greatest man that ever trod the globe. That isn't what the Bible says. The Bible says he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He upholds all things by the word of his power. And when he went to when he had risen from the dead, he said, all power in heaven and on earth is given unto me. Now the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And when it says he came unto his own received him not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You didn't become a child of God when you were born to your mother. You have to receive that divine power through the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. The preaching of Jesus Christ crucified is to the Jews a stumbling block. Brother Brown and I were out looking. They're building their parochial schools and they're building their synagogues by the dozens all over the country. Never before in the United States have the Jews been so religious. But they're absolutely powerless They have no Savior. They have no power. There's no power in their religion. All their religion was nailed to the cross of Calvary when Jesus Christ cried, "It is finished." With all their education, all their religion, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block. And the word is scandalon. It means a scandal. It's a scandal to the Jews yet. You can talk to the Jews about Jerusalem and their kingdom and the Holy Land, but they'll never listen to you about Jesus Christ, their Messiah. They don't want to hear about that. They said, "We are Moses' disciples." And God says, even unto this day, there's a veil over their eyes and they're blind because they know not the voice of the prophets and the Son of God whom they crucified. They're blind, they're powerless with all their religion. There's no power in religion. God doesn't want you to be religious. God wants you to be righteous. God wants you to be spiritual. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to have eternal life. And the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a scandal. Unto the wisdom of this world is foolishness. Go out to the University of Chicago and try to preach it. Go up to Northwestern or down to Illinois and try to preach it. Tell those professors and those people there that their only hope of eternal glory is the man that died on that cross of Calvary. What is it? It's foolishness to them. Who said so? God says so. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now the Apostle Paul was sent out to deliver people from the power of Satan and turn them unto God. Let's notice how he succeeded. For more than 20 years, he went out preaching. And in the 15th chapter of Romans, he tells us with what success he preached the gospel. Now remember, the gospel of Christ is the fact that he died for our sins and was buried and was raised again, and that's God's dynamite. You remember one day they let a man down through the roof, man sick of the palsy. They thought Jesus Christ would heal him, which he did later on. And he saw all the Pharisees and all the religious people around him, and he looked at the man. He said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And they began to mock. And they looked one at the other and said, "Who is this man? No one hath power on earth to forgive. No one hath power to forgive sins except God." And Jesus Christ said, "That you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin." He said to the sick and the palsy, "Take up your bed and walk." And immediately he did it. Just a short while later, there was a storm. These tornadoes down around the Gulf of Mexico, nothing to compare with that storm that day. And there was a great storm. And the Lord just lifted his hand and he said, "Peace, be still." And we're told that the great storm became a great calm. They said, "We've never seen anything like this." They were amazed at the mighty power of God. Now Paul tells you of his success in the 15th of Romans. Notice what he says. 20 years before that, the Lord had told him what to do. To go out and preach to the Gentiles and turn them from Satan, the power of Satan, unto God. And here's what he said in the 17th verse. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. Now the same power that's mentioned as the power of God is mentioned by the power of the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite verses, Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord told his apostles to tarry at Jerusalem until they were endued with power of the Holy Spirit. When this power has come upon you, then you go out. And when they went out, when the power came, it says all the people wondered at the power of God in the ministry of the apostles. It was the power of God. You have no power. You're impotent. You're helpless. You're ignorant. But the power of God is available. And notice what Paul said. He said, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now he had four missionary journeys. He covered hundreds of miles. As I said the other night, prayer meeting, I don't know whether he hitchhiked, whether he got in an ox cart, part of the time he was on vessel. You take your map and see the distance from Jerusalem to Illyricum and see where that man went. And there wasn't a day, as far as we know, that someone was not trying to kill him, put him to death. He says, I must finish my course with joy. And he did finish his course. And after he'd gotten through with his first ministry, he said, I have no more ministry in these parts. I'm going now to Spain and stop at Rome. And he went to Rome, you remember, and was put in jail. And he's the man that said, all things work together for good to them that are called of God. All things work together for good to them who love the God, who are called according to his purpose. And the Apostle Paul then tells us what our duty is. He writes in Philippians for every Christian to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of his suffering, in the power of his resurrection, and to be made conformable unto his death. I've said this and I repeat it. I'm not talking about religious unsaved people. I'm talking about saved people. I don't know how many there are. Only God knows. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that he is. There are 460 million professed Christians. I'll guarantee you that so far as 420 million of them are concerned, the power of God is wasted. When Stuart Holden was here, a wonderful man of God, he'd been all over the United States, and he stopped by Grand Rapids. And he saw a large building there that was empty, vacant. It was about 400 feet long, and it great large letters that says, this building for rent, with or without power. And he said, I've been all over the United States and the churches, and I found out that the great majority of Christians have no power. If you have your Bible, will you turn to the first chapter of Ephesians? In the first chapter of Ephesians, what's the matter with us? Why are we powerless when all power in heaven and on earth is given unto the Lord Jesus Christ? We turn first to Ephesians. Let's turn in Ephesians, first of all, to the first chapter. Now notice, this is wonderful truth, isn't it? The 15th verse. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge. Now think of it. Wisdom, spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Man of God from the Pacific coast who was preaching here not long ago. He says 9 out of 10 Christians, including the preachers, are so lazy they won't even try to find out what this means. Ask yourself, did you ever receive it? Have you received the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him? Have the eyes of your understanding been enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? You know this? What is the exceeding greatness of God's power to usward who believe? Do you believe? What is the exceeding greatness of God's power to usward? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand. Now Christ had power to lay down his life. He had power to take it up again. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. That's his resurrection. But how about his ascension? There was Satan with all of his forces trying to keep Christ out of his place at the right hand of God. You remember Satan was once in the heavenlies himself, and he was cast out as profane out of the mountain of God, and he landed in the heavenlies, and he didn't want Christ to go through. But by the mighty power of God, Christ went through as a man to sit down at the right hand of God, and God says that same power is at your disposal. You may have it every day and every hour and every moment. How do you get it? Well, you just simply appropriate it by faith. Power. Unlimited authority and power that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice in the third chapter. In the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, we read this in the 20th verse. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. How much power is working in us? God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might not be of us, but be of the Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit. How we do limit God. Then God tells us in the same chapter, in the third chapter, of the mighty power of God. Unlimited authority, unlimited power is ours. The people were amazed at the mighty power of God, his magnificent perfection. And the other word, which means unlimited authority. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can pluck them out of my hand. That's unlimited power, unlimited authority. No one is able to take them out of my Father's hand. My Father that gave them me is greater than all. God says, I want you not to receive the spirit of fear, but the spirit, he says, of love and power and a sound mind. What a beautiful combination. Clarence, are you in here? Where are you? Stand up and pray. Clarence Kramer, dear friend of mine, love the Lord, will you all stand as he prays?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thine omnipotence, for the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, God, that Thy power is able to save us from our sin. Thy power is able to keep us secure. Thy power is able to establish us in Thy truth. We thank Thee that we need not rely upon ourselves, but having put our trust in the Lord Jesus, we have at our disposal all the power of heaven. We pray, our God, that we might by faith appropriate that in every phase of our everyday life. Thank you for the message. Bless it to our hearts. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.